This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joy podcast may contain language or themes that are not suitable for all listeners. If you're experiencing difficulty, please reach out for support. You can reach QLife, an anonymous and free LGBTI support service, by calling 1800 184 527 or call Lifeline 24 hours a day on 13 11 14 for crisis support and suicide prevention. In an emergency, please call 000.
The law doesn't keep pace with social change often, and in the era of the Me Too movement, survivors of sexual assault and harassment are increasingly telling their stories to shame predators and demand justice. But that's almost impossible for survivors of sexual assault in Tasmania and the Northern Territory because of an archaic law that prevents survivors of sexual assault from being identified in the media, even if they're the ones doing the identifying. But that may be about to change thanks to a campaign from two Tasmanian women. Just a warning, this story does contain mentions of sexual assault, so if you are sensitive to that, please consider before listening. Informer reporter Nicholas Hines has the story.
Last week, freelance journalist Nina Funnell and sexual abuse survivor Grace Tame won a Supreme Court challenge to allow Grace to tell her story publicly. The campaign was entitled Let Her Speak, and it demanded Grace, and ultimately all sexual abuse survivors, be given the right to tell their story of sexual assault. Nina and Grace shared with us the story of their two-year battle.
In 2017, I was contacted by a young woman called Grace Tame, who had been sexually assaulted when she was a high school student in Hobart.
Nina and I got in touch. I gave her a pretty thorough rehashing of my story.
She was 22 at the time that she contacted me, and she'd made the decision that she wished to waive her right to anonymity and tell her story publicly. And initially, I thought there shouldn't be any reasons why we couldn't do it. Her perpetrator, her 58-year-old high school maths teacher, Nicholas Bester, had been found guilty of grooming and sexually assaulting her between 20 and 30 times. He had gone to jail. So there weren't any defamation issues or subjudice issues, the sorts of things that we usually come up against as journalists. But as I began to research her story, the lawyers who work with me informed me that there is this completely obscure, bizarre law that only exists in Tasmania and the Northern Territory. And effectively, what this law says is that it is a criminal offence for a sexual assault survivor to self-identify when speaking to the media. So if I published Grace Tame's real name and her real identity, which is what she wanted, I would be committing a crime, potentially so would she. And as a journalist, I could face serious fines. Now, in the Northern Territory, if I did the same thing, I could actually face jail time of up to 6 months.
Nicholas Bester served 2 years and 4 months in prison for the crimes he committed against Grace. But upon his release in 2015, Bester wrote comments on social media about his sexual relationship with Grace, describing it as awesome and enviable, and later claiming he was the real victim. Tasmania's gag law meant Grace couldn't share her side of the story.
Well, it isn't something that, you know, anyone should have to defend. He's clearly the criminal in this case, but it's just another example of how many things there are in place that support predators and perpetrators and how many systems there aren't in place to support survivors. These predators just already, they already have so much power. It's already characteristic of their behaviour that they're manipulative and capitalise on society's sort of lack of understanding about these things. And then to have them, you know, be able to have a voice whilst the victims don't, it's just injustice.
I myself am a sexual assault survivor, and I've always been very public about that. My own assault happened in Sydney when I was 23 years old. And for me, being able to tell my story on my own terms when I wanted to do that was a really important part of my own healing and how I chose to rewrite my own narrative. So when I found out that Grace Kane was being denied the same opportunity that I'd had at approximately the same age, I just thought that was inherently unjust.
Nina and Grace embarked on a lengthy Supreme Court battle and public campaign to allow Grace to share her side of the story.
We decided to fund Grace's fight through the Supreme Court to get her a court order which would exempt her from, it's called Section 194K of the Evidence Act, the gag laws. And we've done that, and Grace has won. So last week on Monday, we broke Grace's story.
Grace believes her story can help make others aware of the ways sexual predators can groom children. This is Grace's experience of the events Besta labelled awesome and enviable. A warning, the following contains mention of rape.
I was severely anorexic in 2009 and he was my teacher then. The following year I relapsed and was wandering aimlessly around school one day because I'd missed some school for an anorexia relapse checkup, and the rest of my grade were off campus doing a driving lesson. And so I was walking around aimlessly. He spotted me. He asked what I was doing. You know, we obviously knew each other because he'd taught me the year before. He invited me into his office, asked me why I wasn't with the rest of my grade. And I told him about, you know, I went into detail about the sort of the anorexia relapse, and he sort of just pulled more and more information out of me about how vulnerable I was, you know, not just in terms of the anorexia, but all the other aspects of my life. And then he developed a sort of particular interest in me and asked me to come back and talk to him in his office and began grooming me over a period of months. And I didn't think I had anything, I didn't think anything of it. So I didn't hide the fact from my parents, and I told them because, you know, I was naive and young and didn't see anything was amiss. But they told the school principal that they were unhappy that he had shown this interest in me and requested for him to stay away from me. And Besta then did for a couple of months until I had a weekend school rehearsal, and he came to that weekend school rehearsal and sought me out and asked me to come to the other end of the school where there was no one around, and reignited the sort of conversational friendship. And it just sort of spiraled from there. You know, he very gradually introduced sort of more questionable things, you know, like grooming material, made me watch films and read books that had characters who were in relationships with older people. One such movie, The Last Line was, "Give me a girl at an impressionable age and she is mine for life." And then it eventually happened that I shared with him that I had been abused by an older child when I was a child, and that involved undressing in a closet and being molested. And then Besta recreated that in order to introduce into our quote unquote, I hate using this word, relationship. He used that traumatic memory to scare me into submission and introduce the sexual nature into the abuse. And then eventually he would go on to rape me, and then that became a regular occurrence for the period for 6 months.
Nine years on, Grace has finally been able to share her story. It's one part of a much longer healing process.
Yes, it's the most important part for me is just sort of reaffirming community, the sense of community and love and family with the people around me. Unfortunately, this sort of thing is not something that you can really recover from, because the older you get, the more experiences that you have, and it changes the context of the whole thing. So it's sort of not one of those things where you can get closure and sort of tick a box and go, all right, yep, that's done and dealt with. But it's certainly been a really empowering process, seeing all these people around me come together and just join in this, you know, hugely positive force to create change, not only for myself as an individual, but for the community as a whole. So it has been a healing process, but that process is an ongoing one.
Part of that process was discovering she'd won her Supreme Court case.
I remember opening an email, and I got chills, I got goosebumps, and I just burst into tears, and they were happy tears. You know, it just felt unreal to be the first female in the state to be granted that exemption. It felt long overdue, but my immediate reaction after that was, you know, I'm not going to stop until everybody else gets the same privilege, you know, or it shouldn't even be considered a privilege. It should be a right. Until everyone is granted this ability, this right, I won't stop. And Nina feels the same way, that this is supposed to be a shared victory, first and foremost. This should be a coming together of everyone in the community on this.
Grace's advice to anyone surviving their own trauma?
Keep going. There are people that believe you. I believe you. It is hard. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to not feel brave. But there are people who have your back and who are fighting for you. Don't give up.
The Let Her Speak campaign has achieved a lot, but Nina Funnell says the fight isn't over until the gag laws in Tasmania and the Northern Territory are changed.
So where we're at now is we're pushing for the gag law to be reformed, first in Tasmania and also in the Northern Territory, so that it becomes the right of the individual sexual assault survivor to choose whether or not they wish to disclose their identity and whether or not they want to self-identify when speaking to media, because we believe it should be them as the individual to retain that control and to have consent and the right to choose, as opposed to the state making that decision for them. In every other jurisdiction in Australia, bar the Northern Territory and Tasmania, we have really clear protections in place so that journalists do not have the ability to reveal the identities of survivors without their consent. And those laws work very effectively. And so I think that at this point in time, the government is aware that it's a very archaic law. In the era of Me Too, it's just pretty incomprehensible that a victim would be subjected to a process, having already gone through the court system, that they would be subjected to an additional process on top of all of that.
Through all of this, Grace has kept one message in mind.
Just keep loving everyone. That's my message to the community, is just keep loving. There's no need to, you know, I think there's a danger sometimes with these issues for things to get divisive, you know, for women to start pointing the finger at men or whatever have you. But that's what predators want. They want the community to sort of fight amongst themselves and become divided so that the attention steers away from them. So my ultimate message is keep loving.
That was I beg your pardon, Grace Tame and Nina Funnell speaking to Nick Hines. That was a very, very... That was hard to listen to at times, Nick. That was well done. The mere fact that those laws still exist and that Grace has had to fight so hard to get them changed is, as I think Nina said, slightly incomprehensible. Mm. They're also trying to change something else about some of the terminology in Tasmania's laws, aren't they?
Yeah, and I'll be... Shout out to Grace and Nina for giving so much of their time to this. And if you have any issues listening to that, reach out to Lifeline on 13 11 14. But there is a very similar but separate debate that they're embarking on now, which is in Tasmania, predators who commit sexual assaults on minors in the law regarded to having had maintained a sexual relationship with a child. Mm. That's the legal terminology. And that means in Grace's case and in so many cases in Tasmania, if the media is accurately reporting the law, they are accurately reporting that someone maintained a relationship, which of course doesn't reflect the true nature of what happens. The vague ambiguities led to the media in Grace's case using words like tryst. It gave Bessette the ability to control the narrative in a way that painted himself in a very different light to the way that Grace tells the story. And it doesn't match the terminology used in other states and territories.
Mm, no, they've really got to act on that, and hopefully with the Let Her Speak campaign, they will.
If the content of this Joy podcast brought up any issues for you, please reach out for support. You can reach QLife, an anonymous and free LGBTI support service, by calling 1800 184 527 or call Lifeline 24 hours a day on 13 11 14 for crisis support and suicide prevention. In an emergency, please call 000.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.